Well, this is going to be the last in our series, our Unbroken series, a series that looks at some of the parallels with the Apostle Paul and Louis Zamperini's life. And this morning I want to talk about unbroken love. You know, this past Tuesday I picked up our oldest son, David, Beth, and our granddaughters, Alexa and Ava, at the airport just before noon. Now, I'm always looking for a way to save some money in that, and I realized that the van that I was driving that I had rented, because we were going to take a long trip together to go out to Graham, Texas, and we needed all the space, I rented this van, and I realized I didn't have a toll tag. And so as I'm going into the airport, I'm remembering a time when I rented a vehicle in Ohio. Actually, the first year that I was here, drove all the way back from Ohio back to Grand Prairie, and I didn't have a toll tag feature on that card, and it cost me in tolls and penalties that the rental car eventually charged my card over $300. So if you rent a car, make sure that you don't drive on toll roads unless you have that. But anyway, you know, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to use the tollway up into the airport. I'm going to take the service road to go up to go to Terminal E. Anybody ever done that, taken the service road to go to a terminal? It doesn't work. They're going to get their money out of you one way or another. You can't get to any of the terminals, so I had to drive all the way up and turn around and come all the way back. The whole point is when I finally got to Terminal E, they were standing outside waiting on me, and I parked the van, and guess what I did? I ran out there, and we hugged each other and greeted each other and said, I love you, and it was just awesome. And you know what I noticed? That was happening everywhere else along that whole terminal. And I'll bet it happened at every terminal, that as people picked each other up, there were hugs and greeting and saying, I love you, shared. I want to talk this morning, and I want us our focus to be on unbroken love. I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not, but love is a powerful force. It is more powerful than any force in the universe. You know, I just noticed over here that JT is back from school over here. Yeah, JT, good to see you, man. I'll bet there were some hugs going on at the Von Gore house, right? Saying, I love you, son. It's good to see you. What have you done with some of that weight, son? It looks like you trimmed down a little bit. Love is a powerful force. Don't miss this. As I said, it is the most powerful force in the entire universe. It and it alone can change the human heart and mind. Remember, the Bible says that God is what? Come on, you can say it better than that. God is love. And there's nothing more powerful on the planet or in the universe itself than God. And he is able to change our hearts and minds. As I was reading the scripture this past week, it really stuck out to me that there was an incredible transformation in the life of Paul when the unbroken love of God reached Paul's heart and life and when it reached Louis's life. I don't want you to miss this fact, but let's go to the scripture text this morning. It's found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Follow along as I read it this morning. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the anointing of God to preach the word. And I thank you, O God, Lord, for the anointing of God to hear the word. You have said it would not return void. I pray that in the next 15, 20 minutes, Lord, that our hearts would be so open to what the Spirit of God wants to do in us and through us, that, O God, that you, O Lord, would accomplish your good work. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said. You know, when God's love fills our hearts, it changes us. It changes us to the place that we can become a catalyst for his own broken love to others. Now, what a radical change. Don't miss this. Paul is saying to this group of people, man, I think about you all the time. And it's right for me to feel this way about you and to have you in my heart and to think about you. But don't miss this. This is the same group of people that before God's unbroken love touches the heart of Paul, he hated them. He despised them. He hunted them down. He got letters of authorization from the church to look for them and to drag them out. And we see at one occasion, we remember from this from past week, where he stood there with the cloaks and coats of people as they stoned Stephen, approving of what had been done. He hated them. What made a difference? The unbroken love of God touching his heart and changing him. The same parallel is found in Louis Zamperini's life. After the war was over, because of what Louis had gone through, he hated his oppressors. He hated those who had abused him. And every night when he slept, every night after he came home, after he was released from prison, when he would close his eyes, he would dream of them again. I'm reading from a section of the book, Unbroken, written by Laura Hildebrand. And she writes, at the end of his first day in a new apartment, Louis slipped into bed, closed his eyes, and fell into a deep dream. As always, the bird, the commander of the prison camp, was there. But he was no longer hesitant. The sergeant bird towered over Louis, and the belt flicked from his hand and lashed Louis's face. Every night he returned, and Louis felt helpless once again, unable to flee him or drive away. Louis, like so many men and women, after years in prison camps, swallowed rage and terror and humiliation. And it was concentrated into what a Holocaust survivor once called a seething, purifying thirst for revenge. I was reading in the book, and I believe it was documented, that they said that the average POW in the Pacific Theater lost 62 pounds during captivity. Now, it is even more frightening when you realize that the average weight when they went into the service was 159 pounds. Emaciated and full of anger, Louis comes home, and many come home with a thirst for revenge. But as you've heard me say in this series, Louis comes to Christ at a Billy Graham crusade, and he is filled with the unbroken love of God, and it changes his heart. And so much so that Louis longs to go back to Japan. And many years afterwards, he makes a journey back to Japan. And instead of with an obsession to find the bird and those who punished him and abused him, instead of murder filling his heart, there are no thoughts of murder, but the thoughts are to share the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of God with those who had held him captive. That is the power of the unbroken love of God. And that is why I say it is the most powerful force in all of the universe. It has so much power that all of a sudden, those that we have been enemies with, we might become partners with them when God touches our hearts. And that's what had happened for the Apostle Paul. He said, now we are partners of the gospel. And my prayer is that God will use us together to share this good news. We need to understand that we cannot accomplish all of the work of the kingdom by ourselves. It takes all of us together to do the work of God. And may prayer become a priority that we pray for one another. Have you ever read that in the Bible? I don't know about you, but I've come to realize and understand that when God puts you on my heart, it's the Holy Spirit who's prompted me to pray for you. Now we might just expect, well, yeah, pastor, you pastor church, so that's what you ought to do. Oh, wait a minute. We are partners in this. I hope that when you think of me, you pray for me. Because I need your prayers. I need your prayers to do the work of God that he's called me to do and the anointing of God. We are partners in this. Oh, I love a couple of quotes on this whole thing about a partnership. Mother Teresa said, you can do what I cannot do, and I can do what you cannot do. Together we can do great things. Say that with me. Together we can do great things. Together we can do great things. Oh, we've just seen an illustration of this with the Thanksgiving outreach. There's no way on our own we could do this, but all of us working together. Man, if we touch 34 families, do you realize how many hundreds of people that we touched their lives? Some of them, I got to meet them. They have no home church. Some of them, they're not going anyplace. Some of them, our whole goal is that Jesus might be preaching the gospel. We are partners together in this gospel. Unbroken love makes prayer a priority because it recognizes the partnership. But it also recognizes that the good work needs to continue in us and in others. And Paul says that. You see, unbroken love sees prayer as a priority because it realizes we are in the fight of our lives. How many of you, sometimes it's a struggle to serve the Lord? My hand's up there. Sometimes my faith is tested. Sometimes I get my eyes on the wind and the waves instead of on Jesus. And so, you know, we're in the fight of our lives. Unbroken love sees a prayer as a priority because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I'm convinced that's the reason why God puts your face or your name before me and I pray for you, because perhaps there's a temptation or perhaps there's something that God wants to speak to you or say to you about. And this work needs to be continued. Unbroken love sees prayer as a priority because it understands we need each other. You need someone, and someone needs you. Would you say that to your neighbor right now? Look at them and say, you need someone, and someone needs you. Come on, let's do that right now. You need someone, and someone needs you. I pray to God that last week, that young lady who filled out that prayer request card, that somebody realized, I say young lady, I'm not sure it's a young lady, young man, that they realized that somebody was there for them. Somebody loves them and cares about them. You need someone and someone needs you. Did you ever stop to think that you are the answer to someone's prayer? Unbroken love makes prayer a priority. Secondly, unbroken love, when it touches us and changes us, it sees that, you know, love is willing to make sacrifices. Paul says in verse 7, since I have all of you in my heart, catch this, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Oh, I love this. Paul isn't focused on his chains. Who is he focused on? You. Philippians, you are in my heart. You are on my mind. You are in my head. I don't see these chains on my wrist. I don't see the bars that are holding me back. I don't see that I'm in solitary confinement. What I see is you. And I'm concerned about you. You see, unbroken love makes a sacrifice because it's not based on selfishness or conceit. It's based on what others have need of. One day, after Louis was released from a solitary confinement and quarantine, he was led into the main body of the camp, an enormous compound that was crowded with over 900 prisoners of war, some British, some Scottish, from all over the world. Americans, obviously, as well, those from the USA. It was an enormous compound, and as he wandered down a long row of barracks until he found the one barrack with the letter on it that he was assigned to. Now remember, Louis lost, I think, in excess of 62 pounds. And he probably didn't weigh 159 because he had been an Olympic runner. When he walked into that barracks that he was assigned to, several POWs came up and greeted him. Importance of greeting one another, huh? Greeting him, encouraging him. One of them slipped into Louis's hands a cup of popping height hot tea. Now, friends, there wasn't a Starbucks on the corner, and they didn't have teapots in every room. This was a rare thing. And they put it into Louis's hands. And then somebody else walked up to him. It was a Scottish prisoner, approached with a spoon and a bulging sock. And he dipped the spoon into the sock and ladled out 2 heaping teaspoons of sugar into Louis's cup. To a POW, sugar was a treasure of incalculable wealth and value. Louis couldn't understand how they'd even come by it, but was overwhelmed by the sacrificial love shown him in that moment. It reminds me that Jesus says to us in John 13, verses 33 through 35, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved you." Now, I can tell you I love you, and you may believe it and accept it, but you don't really know I love you until it's demonstrated. You know, it's something about showing. Someone coined the phrase, love isn't love until you give it away, until you demonstrate love to people. Kind of reminds me how that electric lights really got started in the United States. Many of us know that, in Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin really wanted the lights to take off, and he wanted the city to be lighted as Thomas Edison had invented all of this stuff and brought it all about. And the more he talked about it, it just didn't help. It didn't seem like anybody was catching on to it. And so then one day he had this idea. He decided that he would put this lamp outside in Philadelphia, outside of his place, that at dusk he would light it and it would remain lit through the night. Guess what? People began to see that light. They began to flock to that light to see, what is this light all about? What is this light that doesn't go out, that keeps glowing? Wow, this is amazing. I can see and not trip because of this light. And because of the demonstration of the light, people embraced the light and brought the light into their life. Oh, that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That's what Paul is saying about unbroken love, is a love that is a sacrificial love that is willing to demonstrate what needs to happen. And so Jesus says to us that all men will know, if you love like I have loved you, it will demonstrate it. And we come to understand it's not based on personal comforts. As Paul is writing in his chains and as Jesus showed how much he loved us as he stretched out his arms on a cross and died for us, Paul is all about not focusing on what's happening to him, but he's all about focusing on the good work being carried on in them on to completion until the day of Christ. Catch that. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit has really whispered to me, I've been serving the Lord for over 50 years. I know I'm old. I can still outrun some of you in the distance. You can't keep up with me. You'll beat me in the quarter mile. You'll beat me off the mark. But to keep with me in the long term, I think I can do it. My whole point in saying to you is that I've been serving the Lord for over 50 years. The Holy Spirit has whispered something to me about me and my walk with God. And he said this to me. Conversion takes only a moment, but discipleship and spiritual development takes a lifetime. What does that mean? I have not yet arrived. There are some kinks that the Holy Spirit still needs to hammer out in me and some spiritual work and development in my life. And don't look at me so piously. You too have the same thing. Paul says, until the day of completion. So we need to see and understand that our whole goal is to bring people to Christ, but also to see them develop in their walk with God. And it's never over until the day of Christ.